second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And now the next stop is Berea, as we see here, Berea. And I've entitled this theme this afternoon, A Ministry Oasis. A Ministry Oasis. I want to give you just a few things, a few words that God had me. I just wrote down some words, and I may have given you these about Paul in the past, but you know, that's really who we're studying. We're studying his life. There's others that are involved, not just Paul, but the emphasis and the leading here is the Apostle Paul. And some things about his life that I'm starting to be reminded of as we go through the book of Acts, a little bit careful, more carefully maybe than just reading through it. And I wrote these down. He's someone, we're going to get into the text here in just a few minutes, but the Apostle Paul, I wrote these words down. He is someone who's very passionate about serving God. Very passionate about it. And I'm writing these down and I'm giving you these this afternoon, this morning, because these are things that we need in our life. We're not going to be the Apostle Paul. That's not what we're supposed to try to be. We're supposed to be the Christian that God saved us to be. But these are some characteristics that I see in his life that I want to be in my life. I want to be more passionate about whatever God has for me to do. I don't want to just play the Christian life. I mean, you know the difference between just being in a game or being in a game. You know, there's a difference, right? You can go out on a sports field and you can be in the game, but not be in the game. You know, I can remember, especially when we're younger, when we're a lot younger and we're in the game, you know, we're playing soccer, but you know, when kids are really young, and this is not criticism of little kids, but you know, they're looking over on the sidelines, looking at dad and looking at mom, and there goes the soccer ball rolling right by them, and the action's going to the other end, and you know, they're waving at grandma and they're waving at grandpa, and you know, or they're doing whatever they're doing, you know. It's okay. I'm just using that as an example to say that, well, you know, until we get a little bit older, we don't recognize, hey, the game's going on, that's why I'm here. I'm here to be in the game and play the game. You know, the Christian life is far greater than a soccer game. The Christian life is far greater than the Olympics that are going on right now. The Christian life is far greater than being in some sort of a competition, but it is that. It is something that we can recognize that we can be in the Christian life, but not be in the Christian life. There are things that you are passionate about. If I could push the right button today, and it's something that you like to talk about, and I push the right button, and it would happen. You know, it happened the other night at RU, Brother Barry and I. I'm going to tell on us. Is that okay? All right. We both like sports. Brother Barry likes sport. You don't have to like sports, but unfortunately, I grew up in a coach's home. When you grow up in a coach's home, you're going to like sports, or you know, you're going to at least be there. Well, for me, I grabbed a hold of it. And when I was young, I mean, baseball, basketball, soccer, football. Unfortunately, hockey was not involved in my life yet until we came north of the border. But there was all kinds of sports. And so you begin to learn and learn about this and learn about that. You know what? Caleb's been out of the home for years. You know, Emma's not really, you know, she's not really that interested in me talking about sports. I mean, you know, she's athletic, yes, but we don't really talk about sports anymore. And, you know, Brianna, obviously, she's married now and lives in California. And so, you know, we didn't really talk about sports either. And so I really have no reason to talk about it anymore. But the other night, I don't know what, oh, it was the baseball cards that I mentioned in church on Wednesday night. And so he brought up the baseball cards. Well, it didn't stop with baseball cards. It went into this and it went into that and went into this and went into that. And it's okay. You know what I'm saying? There's things that we're passionate about. But you know what we need? We need a lot of men and we need a lot of women and we need a lot of teenagers that are passionate about this book. We need a lot of people today in the service of the Lord, like the Apostle Paul, that we hit a roadblock. We don't just give up and stop. He goes around the roadblock, or he goes through the roadblock, or he goes over it or under it, whatever it may be. So he's passionate. Look at how he's been going from city to city, and not everywhere that he's gone, nowhere that he's gone, have they rolled out the red carpet and said, hey, the tour of Paul, he's coming, right? You know, that Paul is touring all these cities. Let's get ready for him. In fact, it's been the opposite. So passionate. I also wrote down this word about the Apostle Paul's example from the Word of God that we've been reading. He's very persistent. He knew what God had called him to do, and what God had called him to do was to go from city to city and lay the groundwork and start churches and get the word of God out there and be persistent about it. And again, he stayed at it. He was passionate. He was persistent. He was predictable. Where did he go all the time? Right away. Synagogue. He's predictable. You say, how can we be predictable? I think the people that we are around the most should know that we're a Christian. We're predictable. We're not going to talk about dirty jokes. We're not going to laugh at dirty jokes. We're not going to tolerate someone taking the Lord's name in vain. We're predictable. Oh yeah, that's Billy Bible over there. Don't say this around Billy Bible. Predictable. By the way, you don't have to be obnoxious about it. You know, I just prefer not, I'd prefer you not talk about that stuff around me. I prefer you not use my Savior's name in vain. No. Again, you can be kind about it. But Paul was predictable. But you know what else Paul was? Paul was persecuted. He was persecuted. It wasn't, you know, Paul's here, great. Everywhere Paul went, let's get him out of the city. Fast as we can. But here we see him coming to a city kind of like an oasis. It's the city of Berea. By the way, Berea was not on a main thoroughfare. Berea was on what we would call more of like a byway and not a highway. But unlike Thessalonica, when Paul comes into the synagogue, it's a totally different atmosphere. In Thessalonica, there were people that believed. Look at chapter 17, if you have your Bible open, please. And a little different this morning, whatever time it is. I don't even know what time it is. So anyway, but look at verse 4. Notice it says, and some of them believed. That's Thessalonica. Some of them believed. Look at verse 12. This is Berea. Therefore, many of them believed. How many of you know today that we would rather have many than some? I would. Now, if we can only have some instead of none, then I'll take some. But if the choice is between some and many, I'm taking many. We're talking about believers. We're talking about an army. We're talking about disciples. We're talking about people that wanted the Word of God. And so, yes, some is good, but many's better. I think you know the difference already. We just read about it. So it was an oasis. In Berea, the church had many Jews in it. In Thessalonica, it was mainly a Gentile congregation. The soil in the Jewish heart in Thessalonica was a little harder. What does the Bible say? Look at verse number 11. It says, these in Berea. Okay, so we see verse 10, there were they were all the time. Synagogue, 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 synagogue. Okay, but there's something different about these people. Bible says they were noble, more noble than those in Thessalonica. Not only that, it says they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily. Now we're going to come to that in a minute, whether those things were so. So because of verse number 11, the ministry in Berea was completely different than the ministry in Thessalonica. Yeah, again, that's why I thought of it as an oasis for Paul. He came in the same way he always did. He was predictable. He went to the synagogue. He was passionate. He was preaching the same message and all those things that we mentioned a moment ago. Only this starts off so much different. The hearts of the Bereans was a heart ready, prepared, teachable for what the Apostle Paul had. They had a ready mind. Notice that readiness of mind. What does that mean? It means a clearness. A clearness. you know, I'm just really leaning on the Lord right now. I pray I lean on the Lord every time I preach, but I'm really leaning on the Lord right now. You know, our minds have, we take in so much in this day and age, right? We take in so much. I was meditating on this and thinking about this readiness of mind this week compared to my life now. I'm 48, and going back to when I was 8, 40 years ago, and how life was when I was 8. Think about it, 4 decades ago in your life. It doesn't have to be 4 decades ago, maybe just 3. And what wasn't in our life. Now, I'm not saying what wasn't in our life, that is in our life today, is bad or all negative, but it's there now. I think about when I was 8 years old, like Brother Barry and I were talking about, you know, life was pretty simple. There wasn't a lot to clog up my mind when I was 8 years old. I mean, there was the same things for today, but not as much happening so fast. I wonder sometimes that when we come to God's house, and I'm not speaking at you, I'm speaking to us. I wonder sometimes when we come to God's house, do we have a ready mind? I'm talking to the pastor. I'm talking to everyone. Do we have a ready mind? What does it mean? A clear mind. How, you know, and I'm not gonna have anybody testify today, but how many of us so easily can go from here, right now where we're seated, to Tuesday? To Thursday appointment at 3 o'clock? To Saturday flyers at 10 a.m. I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm preaching to me that we have to be so disciplined. We have to be so disciplined that when we go into our Bibles, even in the morning, that our mind is ready. That we aren't thinking about the schedule of the day. That we aren't thinking about the schedule of the week or the month or the year, excuse me, or whatever it may be. If our mind isn't clear, how is God going to speak to us? We have so much stuff in here. Stuff happens so much faster now, doesn't it? Again, I'm not saying that it's all wrong. I'm just saying, God help me to be a disciplined man that is ready in mind. That when I open God's Word, I know I'm opening the mind of God. And if I'm opening the mind of God, then I need to have this mind clear of everything and ready to say, okay, God, pour it in. Like that's the difference between Thessalonica and Berea in this one way, is that in Thessalonica, their mind was so filled with the law and so filled with this and that, and yet he comes to Berea and it's like a breath of fresh air. Wow. They were ready in mind. It wasn't just a preconceived, I'm not going to believe anything you say, as in Thessalonica. Now, they did, and we'll talk about this, they did listen with a ready mind, and then they took it to the next step, which is what we ought to do when we're listening to any preacher, including your pastor or a guest or whoever it is. We have a ready mind when we come into the Word of God in the morning, and we have a ready mind when we come to the local church. But think about it. Oh, I'm burdened today about this as a pastor. I'm burdened for you, the church family, us, the church family, and our teenagers and our kids, that we don't put so much in their mind. They're not ready to receive something. They've been on a video game for hour upon hour upon hour. Are video games all bad? No. But hour upon hour upon hour, how can a mind be ready? They've watched, you know, cartoons for hours. Hey, I'm a cartoon fan. I'm talking about old school cartoons. Remember when I was 8, not 48, when I was 8. Some of you know those cartoons. Okay? But moderation is so important. You know? A little less Daffy Duck, okay? I'm just trying to say that when we get into the Bible, this is a familiar text maybe to us today, but what does it mean for me in 2021 to have a ready mind? That's what I believe it means. A clear mind. Yes, we have a job, and yes, we have a career, and yes, we have work, and yes, we have the struggles of life, and yes, even as a pastor, I'm praying for people today that are not well, that couldn't be here, and I know we're online, so I'm not going to mention names, but we carry one another's burdens, but, you know, there's something to laying that all aside and saying, okay, I'm ready to get something from you, Lord. The Bereans were known by that. A ready mind. Ready mind, a clear mind. Let's look at a couple of things as well. Okay, so a ready mind. That's the first thing that we looked at there. They had a clear mind. Notice what else? And searched the scriptures. Searched the scriptures. Hold your place there and go back with me, if you will, to John 5, searched the scriptures. John 5, please. Not going to be very long, so hang on. I know it's getting warm. I'm getting warm. If it's just me, I don't know, but I'm getting warm. Stay with me a little bit here. God's really challenged me about something. I hope He challenged you about that, because He challenged me about that clear mind. I don't want to just sit down and read the Bible for half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour, whatever. That's irrelevant. I'm just throwing out times. But if I have so much up in here, how come I'm not getting anything out of the Bible? Maybe I haven't asked God to clear my mind. Maybe we've got to go through that and just say, God, you know, I do have a lot coming this week, but I don't want to think about that at all. I want to think about this Bible that I'm just about to read. Verse 39 of John 5. Search the scriptures. You see it there? John 5:39. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they being the scriptures, which testify of me. Turn over to Luke 24. Luke 24. And verse 45. Luke 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand what? Scripture. The Bible says that the Bereans searched the scriptures. Notice the word after scriptures in Acts 17:11. I never even hesitated in reading this verse before until this time through. You know, that's the beauty of God's word, isn't it? You know, there's certain passages that you maybe have read over and over and over and over and over and over again. Don't stop reading them. God really challenged me about this. One word is the word daily. Why? What does it mean? What do you mean? And it wasn't about what the word daily means. I know what it means. But I began to think about it. They searched the scriptures daily. So, every day. That's what daily means, right? Then I began to think about, what scriptures did they have? Did they have the whole Bible yet? No, they didn't have the whole Bible. Did they have it in a Bible? Did they have it in a book form yet? No, they didn't. Did they have their own copy of the scrolls? I don't think so. You see what I'm thinking here? Where were they? In the synagogue. So, the Bible's the Word of God, right? And that's a B. Okay, hello, Mr. B. The Pepsi guy's over there. Come on, Pepsi guy's over there. Sorry. That wasn't nice. Sorry. But I love the picture. This guy put his Pepsi on the seatbelt yesterday. What a guy. That would be my dad. He likes his Pepsi. Anyway, they searched the scriptures daily. They didn't get up in the morning and go down to the living room and pull out the scrolls, search them. They didn't have them. This means if the Bible's true, it's true, by the way. It means they went to the synagogue every day to search the scriptures. What scriptures did they have? Well, they would have had a portion of the Old Testament, possibly the law, maybe more, I don't know exactly. But when Paul came in and Paul was preaching, they were clear of mind, right? As we said earlier, their heads were clear. And by the way, that's something that we want to think about and we want to pray when we come to the house of God, is that we have an open heart and a clear head. So many other things we can be wandering about today in our mind. I keep coming back to that. I guess God wants us to emphasize it again. But not only that, so when Paul would have been preaching on Saturday, they would have come back to the synagogue on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Every day. They did it every day, friend. What is this telling me? It's reinforcing in us the importance of the Word of God in our life every day. And let's just, can I say it nicely, but really confrontationally, we have no excuse. You don't have to come to my office to search the scriptures tomorrow. If that's the synagogue, okay? It's not. You get what I'm saying? God has given us the book, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all of it. And again, part of it was saying, okay, let's see what Paul was saying. And they would search the scriptures every day and see, yeah, that's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying that, wasn't he? He was preaching the Word of God that they had. And you know, God really challenged me about that, that I have it in print. I don't even know how many Bibles I have. But am I searching it daily? Not for preaching, but for me. Am I searching it with a clear mind, with an open heart? This is the description of a Berea Christian. This should be the description of us too. Anchor Christians. They were more noble. Why? Because they had a clear mind. They had an open heart. We don't come to the Bible and say, now God, prove it. No, we just go to the Bible with an open heart and an open mind, and God does prove it. He does give us things that we need. He does take care of us. We are His children. How will a father would not give a child a snake, as it says, God giveth good things to those who come to Him. I thought, boy, that really challenged me. Search the scriptures daily. All right, let's look on. Just a couple of other thoughts. Look at verse 4. And some of them believed. We talked about the word some earlier, but let's look at the word believed. The word believed there means persuaded against preconceptions. Translated from a Greek word, patho, P-E-I-T-H-O. Persuaded against preconceptions. So the Thessalonians, some of them were persuaded against preconceptions. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. This is not the same Greek word as verse 4. This is the Greek word pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. What is this one? It means they believed on their own. Again, it comes back to the difference of what we're saying. Clear mind, open heart. They believed, yes. Both believed. But the reason why one was many and one was some is because in Berea, the ground was more, the ground of the hearts was more prepared for the truth of the Word of God. You see, what do you want to get out of the Bible? What we're going to get from the Bible isn't dependent on, just follow me, don't leave me, isn't dependent on the Bible. You and I read the same Bible. You say it a little different way. We read the same Bible. What's the difference? The heart. Why do we say, God, open their heart. God, open their mind. God, take these. Everybody got the flyer. 135,000 homes have got a flyer. I don't know what all God has done. But we pray that literature, that information falls into someone's heart who's open to the things of God. Now, it might have to be a hammer for somebody too. Right? The Bible's a hammer. But the difference is, when you open your Bible and I open my Bible in the morning, I'm not saying there's a difference between you and me. I'm just saying what I'm going to get from the Bible really isn't based on the Bible. It's powerful. But if my heart is closed and my mind is full of junk, I got to get that dealt with first. So this is why we see some believe, or many believe. Turn over to John 5. John 5, please. John 5:46. We were there just a moment ago, but a little further down in the text. Or had ye believed Moses, he would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Verse 47. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my word? I wrote this down as a cross-reference to Acts 17, verse number 12, because that's the words that Paul was giving them, the words of Moses, which was the words of God, right? And so we see, he says, if you can't believe the words of Moses, which are my words anyway, you will not believe me. So their hearts were open, their hearts were clear. What happened? As they daily would search the Scriptures, the fruit, was, the Bible says, many, many believe. So here's what we take home with us this afternoon. We need a revival. Yes, we need a revival of clear minds and open hearts when we approach God's holy word. I think too many times we're approaching God's holy word with way too much up here, and this isn't ready. I'm raising my hand. And it can be good things, by the way. It could be serving Him. It could be helping people, which we should be doing, all of those. But the difference in some and many is right there. Are you going to have a some kind of spiritual life growth, or are you going to have a many kind of growth in your life? The choice is yours. This isn't changing. Amen? This is the rock. This is the anchor. This is where we base all of our faith and practice. This is not changing. This is going to be strong when you need it to be strong. It's the sword. It's everything we need. But the problem many times is we're in Thessalonica when we need to get over to Berea. Let's pray that God would help us to, as His Word says, to have a ready mind, so that when we search those Scriptures daily, we will believe, not just for salvation, but that we'll believe God for everything that we need every day of our life. Christian life is to be one of growth. It's my prayer for me personally and for you that we would grow grace. That means we will step back sometimes, but that we take steps forward. This is the key, though, in my opinion. This is the key. Readiness of mind. Search the Scriptures daily. Then comes grace.